From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show, Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud. Post-game versus the Devils, Blue Shirts lose 5-2. This season is going to the dump side fast. If not, it's already there. We'll talk about it with the stakeholders. This is the part of the schedule I feared the most when I looked at it before the start of the season. I even said it the last couple of weeks, and it's coming into fruition. But even with that said, I thought if when healthy, if playing well, we would have at least beat the New Jersey Devils. I asked a question last week to Ranger Proud. I said last week, by the time we get to the conclusion of the Devils game, how many points since last week would we should have accumulated? I said we should have at least had 4. Now, when I went into that counting for those points, I didn't count the Boston games. I just thought watching Boston play on their schedule before the Rangers last week, I thought they were just the superior team, the eye test. I was like, well, Boston's just a better team. You saw it. They wore the Rangers down, could have scored. They're out-bodied. They're out-physical. Didn't surprise me. Okay, you didn't get to play Philadelphia. So you kind of, you know, that Philadelphia is a very solid team, too, this season. So that was a crapshoot in itself. But this game, a game where it just seemed that you played one period out of three pretty well, which I thought the second period was good, but the first and the third period, especially the second half of the third period, it was probably one of the worst periods of the season. I know we have your injuries. Your Panarin didn't play. Don't want to make excuses. Keandre Miller with an upper body injury. Jacob Trouba with an injury. I mean, these guys are dropping like flies, and you can't score. This is a disaster. But let's get the guys on. We're going to talk about this right now. We've got the guys lined up. The Ring Podcast with Ranger Proud. What a terrible homestand. Now, if you want to call it a homestand, I mean, they're playing on the Garden Ice, but we'll bring on the guys on, but let's get Ranger Proud first. Ranger Proud, of course, Forever Blue Shirts, writing for Forever Blue Shirts, Twitter, and IG. RP, what's up, bro? How you doing? We'll bring on the other guys after you. How you doing, sir?
Yeah, very good, Steve. How's everything?
Man, this is rough, man. This was a tough watch, man. I didn't like this at all. Let's get the other guys on too. Chandler, what's up, bro? How you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing, man?
Man, it's been better, man. We've seen better days on the ice, man. This is terrible, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Craig, what's up? Craig, what's going on, bro? How's everything? Ranger Saints, what's up, bro? Glenn, is that Glenn? Glenn, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Steve. How you doing?
This game took a lot of – I had a good day today, Glenn, so I watched this game starting at 7 p.m. Eastern. this was terrible.
Yeah.
RP, yeah. I kind of laid out what I saw over the last week. I didn't – you know, the Boston game, you know, I don't want to make excuses. I just think Boston right now is just a better team on the ice, just way solid, just a lot better. But, man, I don't think let's get Craig. Hold on, let's get Craig on, too. Craig, say hello to the people, man. How you doing, bro?
Good. How's it going, man? Missed you guys last week. But, man, I don't know what to think about tonight. We look
we're
going to
use this as therapy.
We look sloppy. Thanks for Igor in
therapy,
the first
man.
Period. But, man,
yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, this is a tough one, man. RP, go ahead and fire away, man. I mean, the second period, I thought it had the best energy, but the first period, it was severely outplayed. Third period, especially the second half of the third period, was just sloppy, soft goals given up. Even if Shesterkin did make a couple of kick saves and all that, it was just still not enough that they were getting worn out. What's your thoughts, RP? And we'll go right down the line, get Chandler, Glenn, Craig, so on and so forth.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's a hurting hockey team. You know, injuries, you don't want to use an excuse. But they are a reason when you're not scoring goals. They're not buying into David Quinn's system whatsoever. They're not disciplined at all. And here's a team that hadn't played or been on the ice in 15 days. And aside from here and there, we're a better team. They were much hungrier in the third period. where I thought they would have fell a little flat just from overall fatigue. But these guys played hungry. And I tell you something, I didn't think this until after this game, in these few minutes. David Quinn's got to start looking over his shoulder because these guys are not playing for him. And if they don't buy into his system, then you got a problem. Because they're not doing anything on the ice to help themselves out. And now you're down five starters from the beginning of the season, even though no one's thrilled with Jack Johnson. But at the end of the day, five starters out and the guys stepping up, your bottom six are better than your top six. And in a nutshell, that's the problem with the team.
Anybody still there?
I'm here.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh. I'm here.
Okay, I was on mute.
Yeah.
My bad. I was on
He's
mute.
Got his
bad.
Mute button on again.
Yeah, practice what you preach. I was all speaking and stuff. Yeah, RP, anything else you'd like to add, man? I mean, you're right, man. The bottom six is showing a lot more energy, but you need your top dogs to show us something.
Your top dogs haven't shown up all year. I mean, you know, for whatever the reason is, Kreider's not doing much. And we're just talking about point production. Yeah, yes, he's being a leader on the ice, and yes, he's standing up for his guys, but the Rangers need to score goals. It's the bottom line, and Kreider's not doing it. Juchnevich, though, he had one today. He's struggling. Strome hasn't done anything. Zibanejad's got one goal on the season in 14 games. It's just, you know, it can't just be when Panarin's in the lineup that he's the only one doing anything. You know, Kako and Lafreniere look great tonight. They really did. Kako, once he gets a goal, the gates are going to open for him if he can get the goal. And right now, I mean, those guys, those two, I think, are just the best. Kako had to be the best Ranger on the ice tonight, in my opinion. I mean, he was all over the place. But at the end of the day, you got shut out in two of the last four games. You lose today. And if you don't score, it doesn't matter what you do on the blue line, it doesn't matter what your goalie does. You're not going to win the hockey game. And that's where they're at. And I understand the team's frustrated, but I think it has a lot to do with the overall structure of the club. I really don't see them hearing David Quinn. And that's a problem 14 games into the short season.
All right. Shout outs to RP. We'll go right down the line. We'll go to Chandler. But, hey, Scott, say hello to the people real quick before we go to Chandler. Scott, what's going on, man? How you doing, man?
Oh, me?
Yeah, hey, we're just saying, give it a shot. Say hello to the people, man.
Yes, good evening, everyone. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Mr. Chandler, go ahead and follow it, brother, man. And then we'll go to Glenn, then Craig, then Scott, and get some thoughts around, man.
Well, I mean, RP kind of stole a little bit what I was going to say because I tweeted this, what, 2-3 weeks ago, that it was getting close to time to start having the conversation about David Quinn. Listen, I'm not saying that David Quinn is not a good coach. I think David Quinn is a foundation setter, and I think that's all he is. He's, if you look at the players that have been brought in, and Steve, you know I got a recurring theme. I don't like coaches who don't like veteran winning players in their locker room. Tell me the veteran winning player that David Quinn has had brought in there. There hasn't been one. You have a young team that has no experience in winning, real winning. And don't talk about the Kreider and whatnot because we all, listen, if Kreider was captain material, a lot of stuff that's been going on wouldn't be going on. So we really don't even have a captain on the team. We have some star players who David Quinn can't get to perform, but the young players are doing well. The foundation is set. David Quinn's not the guy to take you to the next step. And I've felt that for a while. And if you watch this team, they don't know how to win because who in there has won? Who in there has any experience to draw upon when things get rough? Who's there to say to the young goalie that's struggling, where's the veteran goalie? You know, where's the anti-ranter? Where are the veteran voices to help these young guys take the next step? And I think that's the problem. I don't know if it's not that they're buying in. I know that David Quinn can't get established players to raise their level of game, okay? He can't get established players to raise the level of the game, all right? You brought in Shattenkirk. Wow, Shattenkirk turned into somebody we didn't recognize. You brought in Trouba. Trouba last season was like, dude, where's Jacob Trouba at? What happened to Jacob Trouba? There's a recurring theme with David Quinn, and you know what? he's great at player development. Give, you know, throw him a boatload of money. Let him run player development for our juniors and all that other stuff, the kids that's coming through the pipeline. But he's not the guy to take us to the next level. He's not. And I think we're starting to see that. The musical chairs with the goalie thing. Dude, pick a goalie. Pick a goalie. Let that goalie go through the growing pains. Pick a damn goalie. But I think a lot of what RP said is right. This is coming back on David Quinn, and David Quinn is going to have to figure out how to be a better coach, how to get guys to raise a level, and how to get guys to learn how to win, how to understand that in crunch time they can't panic, how to understand what they need to do when they get put in the blender. And I don't see that out of this team. And I know guys are hurting all of that, but when your young players are outperforming your established players, that says something to me when you talk about coaching. So, I think the conversation needs to start where we need to look at whether David Quinn is the guy that can build on the foundation that we've set.
That is Chandler, ladies and gentlemen. Shout out to Chandler. Thank you very much. Let's go to Glenn, and then Craig, and then Scott. Glenn, what's your thoughts, man, as far as what you've seen on the ice tonight, even the last two games versus the Bruins, the postponed, you know, there's no game versus the Flyers, but your thoughts and your assessment, and then we'll get to Craig and then get to Scott.
Well, I thought tonight was very disheartening when the trend around the league basically has been when teams have had a long period of layoff that they usually come out a little flat. And the Rangers were ambushed tonight by a team that hadn't played in 2 weeks in a game that they really need to win. I mean, let's be honest. If they want to make the playoffs, which I kind of don't see that the way things are going right now, the plan is get your points off the Devils and the Sabres, try to hold your own with Washington and Pittsburgh, and, you know, kind of roll the dice with Boston and Philly and those teams. And I was kind of shocked tonight because I thought against Boston, they really played one of the best teams in the league, straight up almost even. You know, a bounce here or there, and they could have won both of those games, or at least one of them. And I was really kind of encouraged after the two Boston games. But after tonight, I don't really know what to think. You know, like the Chandler and RP were saying, yeah, it might be finally to look at the coach and have him looking over his shoulder. Now, again, you know, it's 15 games. He was looking like a pretty good coach the last month or 6 weeks of last season. And you know, as we're both saying, as Chandler said, he's a development coach, and we're still in development. And it's really a matter of what the goal is this year. And I know it was stated, make the playoffs and develop. But they're not going to make the playoffs if they're giving away points to teams like the Devils and Buffalo. I really expected them to come out hard tonight. And I was kind of shocked that if it wasn't for Shesterkin in the first period, this game wouldn't have been worth watching the second and third period. It could have been 4-5-0. And that really was disheartening to me to see the effort that these guys came out with in what really was a must game to me. And, you know, we've talked about this for the last couple of weeks that you know, they're getting all of their production out of the bottom two lines. It's the Blackwells and the Rooneys and Boteto, and, you know, we're not seeing anything out of the top six. I agree. I thought Kato was the best player on the ice today. I thought Lafreniere was a lot more involved. I'm liking what I'm seeing out of them, but, again, the bottom line is they scored two goals, and they really need to figure out a way to cause some traffic in front of the net to, you know, so I did a little research over the weekend when we didn't have the Philly game. The Rangers are actually averaging 33 shots a game. The league average is around 32. So they're slightly above the league average, but their shooting percentage is about 7-8%, which is well below the league average. I think it's around 12. So this tells me that, you know, they're getting shots, but they're not getting quality shots. They're not getting opportunities right in front
you know, for tip-ins and rebounds and things like that. And, you know, this team is built with a lot of talented, I don't want to use the word finesse, but, you know, a lot of talented players and not guys that, you know, we're going to rough it up in the corners and go stand in front of the goal. And, you know, who's coming? Kravtsov's coming. He's the same thing. They've got a lot of talented forwards, but they don't really have the right mix. And I think sometime down the road here, they're going to have to figure that out.
I agree with you, Glenn. And we're going to go to Craig, but that's the two things I noticed with the Rangers, especially outside of the second period. A lot of the shots on goal, and I know Scott's going to hammer this point when he gets on, the accuracy of the mm-hmm. shots is just they're there, but they misfire. They don't shoot on target or shoot accurate. I mean, how many shots have we seen that's gone over the crossbar that should have went in? Things like that. I agree with you, man. Craig, let's go to you.
Steve, they had 39 shots on goal tonight. How many of them were tough? How many do you remember Blackwell having to make incredible saves on 39 shots tonight?
I know.
I don't remember many. And that's
not
a problem.
Many. Yeah, pretty much. Craig, dude, what's up, bro? And then let's get to Scott after that.
Hey, thanks, man. Yeah, I agree with Glenn. And also, man, I was so excited coming into this game because we did skate with Boston and we skated with Pittsburgh. And, you know, Boston is one of the best teams in the league. And I thought, man, we got something clicking here. And then we come into this game, and thanks to Igor in the first period for what he did, you can't expect a goalie to play three periods having to take shots at him constantly. So then we come out the second period, and, man, we were skating good. We were crashing the net. We were getting turnovers. And Blackwell, I think Blackwell is one of the most underrated players we got on that team because he's always hustling. I mean, that goal he scored, he made a defensive play, skated all the way down the ice, and made the goal. So then we come out in that third period. I thought, man, I'm excited. We're probably tiring down the Devils. And we just went right back to playing on our heels again. And, I mean, so much time spent in our defensive zone. And just the offense looked sloppy. And, man, it was crazy. But, you know, one thing I always think about is, when you think about baseball and you think of your home run hitters, like your big home run hitters that are constantly hitting home runs and then, you know, they're big guys. And they spend a lot of their time taking batting practice. So, you know, one, I don't know if we have necessarily the strength up front. And, you know, we got kind of some smaller guys. But also just, man, I don't know. I just have a practice for those guys who are just shooting. We're always shooting from the blue line, too. You know, I think we need to crash the net more, and we need to get in there for rebounds or even just crash the net with the puck and see what happens. So hopefully we can turn around before the next game.
All right, cool. All right, Scott, what's your thoughts, man? Thank you, Craig. Scott, what's your thoughts, man? And I know you got a lot to say on this, man. This is terrible, man.
Yeah, I'm awake. I'm awake, first of all. It's good to be awake for your show, finally. Yeah.
After that game, great.
What's that?
I said it was tough to stay awake after that game.
Yeah. You know what? I heard some great points. I didn't know, go a little different route. I thought they played decently. I thought they came out decently enough. And, you know, like a previous caller pointed out, they did have 39 shots, but then, like someone else pointed out, nothing was really memorable. Nothing was really, like, you know, one of those edge of your seats, like, wow, I can't believe he made that save. You know, not much of that going on. The season overall, but you know, to go toe-to-toe with Boston like that and, you know, a game that you felt okay with the loss because they played very, very well, and they gave Boston, one of the best teams in the league, all they can handle. And then to do this against the Devils, which hadn't played, you know, since God knows when, and are not going to the playoffs, is just really frustrating. They're just frustrating to watch. Now, I'm a realist. The rebuild's not done. You know, it's just not. I knew that coming into the season. I knew that playoffs would be quite an overachievement, I think. You know, the future is bright, but they're not ready yet. They're not there yet. They got half the defense. You know, this was this whole year, I like to sum it up as this whole year is preseason for next season. You know, you got Fox and Kako are definitely just getting better every game. I wish Kako could learn how to pass a little bit better. I mean, he's a sniper. Yeah, that's what we got him for. But I've seen a couple open guys that he just doesn't see them. So he needs to work on his passing a little bit. And then, yeah, we want to get the rookies, specifically Lafreniere. We want to get the rookie year out of the way. And then next year they should be hopefully ready to go. We got, what, $8, $9 million coming off the books in buyout space. I would have thought that would have been spent on a pretty badass defenseman, but now it looks like we might have to put that towards some scoring. But, yeah, Steve, you said it right. Yeah, I'm going to hammer Buchnevich. You know, he did score a goal tonight from a pretty sharp angle. It was a pretty good goal, so I got to give credit where it's due. But, I mean, this guy can just, you know, how many times is he 2 feet out with the goalie down and put it off the glass or right into the goalie's chest? My favorite target to attack is Kreider. You know, Panarin is obviously, you know, our go-to guy. But as somebody else pointed out, the bottom six is playing well. The bottom six is outplaying the top six, and that's a problem. You know, it's great that the bottom six is playing well, but the bottom six is not supposed to outplay the top six. And, I just had it with Kreider. I've had it with Kreider 3 years ago. I was praying they would trade him last year. He's going to go down as one of the biggest underachievers I've ever seen. With his speed and size and skill set, there is no excuse for this guy not putting up 70 points. 70 points would be a bad year for him. And like clockwork, he shows up once every 3 games. You could set your watch to it. And it's so annoying. And, you know, you got Panarin down and out. You know, Kreider wanted that C. He's wearing that A. I mean, I don't know if Kreider wanted the C, but, you know, half the fans are saying he should wear the C. You know, with Panarin out, this guy should be running around like his ass is on fire trying to fill the gap. And I didn't even know he was playing tonight again. I have so had it with him. You know, you can set your watch to it that he's just not going to show up 2 out of every 3 games. And nobody is stepping up. The bottom six is trying to step up and fill Panarin's gap, and that's not supposed to happen. So I get it. It's a development year. But the one player I do legitimately feel bad for that I'm not going to give any shit to is Zibanejad, because he just can't buy a goal, and obviously his confidence is shaking. He just looks lost out there. He'll get one, probably be a cheapie, and then they'll just start coming in droves for him. So I'm not worried about him. But, you know, nobody is stepping up, and I got to put the blame on Kreider, because that's just the player he is. He's just a disappointment. He's been a disappointment his entire career. And I'm not a big fan of Buchnevich, just because he'll score a goal every now and then, but how many glorious opportunities does he butcher? Other than that, I mean, like I said, it is what it is. It's just a growing year, and I don't know who was point out about Quinn, but I agree 100%. I've had my doubts about him. Like, yeah, he's, you know, good for the young kids, but, whoever said that he's a developmental coach, that's the perfect way to sum it up. And when we do, you know, they're not on the clock this year. I said it's a throwaway year. It's a developmental year, but next year they should be on the clock. And the question is, you know, Quinn just doesn't look like he's confident, like, at all, and just, you know, he looks like he's just throwing names against the wall and hoping they'll stick. Like, he just doesn't strike me as a confident coach that knows where to put each piece of the talent. And I'm worried that next year when they're on the clock and they should hopefully be ready to be a contender, that he's just not going to know how to put it together. So, that's my thoughts.
Shout out to Scott, man. Thank you, man. And I agree with you. I'm going to go back to your point about Buchnevich, and then we go back to RP, because, like you said, when he tied up the game at 2-2, there was a time, a quarter into the third period, he had a great shot on opportunity. It just misfires. Like, there should be great opportunities when it comes to Buchnevich. You know, he'll make a goal every now and then, but then he just misses so many opportunities. There was a point he was the best Ranger of the season, and then that kind of dwindled down as time had went. But to you, all you guys' points is spot on. Like, Hayek, I know, Craig, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. He played very well tonight, and we got to give a lot of these young players credit. But it's the veterans that got to step up. We had to delay a game by Kreider. Fortunately, we were able to kill that off. Zibanejad had the elbow, and that turned into a power play goal by the Devils. So it's the veterans, you know, causing all the damn penalties, in this game in particular, and we just can't score. And I go back to this point, RP, and I said this the last couple of weeks. I think this roster, the way it's constructed, the way the chemistry is, and I think the Hedo, losing Hedo, that domino effect is biting us in the ass like I thought it would. But then you add on to the fact that we're playing the toughest part of our schedule. This is a whole clusterfuck. RP, your thoughts?
Well, just listening to what everyone said, it's funny how everyone has the same opinion and totally different opinions, which is makes for a great conversation. But just looking at numbers really quick, as I'm reading the post-game report and all the things, the Rangers getting no power plays is always a problem because it means you're not driving to the net, you're not battling in the corners, and to me it means you're not aggressive enough, which is what we've all been saying. They were 49% on their faceoffs, which for the Rangers, you would think, hey, that's pretty damn good. The problem is our best faceoff guy, who was Zibanejad, was at 45%, was only 9 for 20. And the defensive end, he was 3 out of 5. How is Kevin Rooney 11 for 13 at 85%, and he was 6 for 6 in the defensive end? That's a problem right there. Zibanejad might not be scoring, but if he can't take draws, then we're really in trouble. So these are just little things, like, you know, when you try to, I guess, micro exploring each player and what's going on. Chris Kreider was taking faceoffs tonight, which I thought was a little different. He took 5 draws. I don't think someone got thrown out and he took 5 faceoffs. So it was a little, the numbers are a little off on who's taking draws in the defensive end and the forward end. But at the end of the day, after 14 games, I can't give Zibanejad a pass anymore because we all know what he can do. And I know he's squeezing a stick, but he only had 3 shots on goal tonight. You're not going to score if you keep passing. You're not going to score if you keep driving to the net the way they have been driving or not driving to the net. Our big guns just aren't shooting the puck at all, and it's why we're not scoring any goals. You know, it's a simple thing. Shoot the puck, and eventually the puck's going to go into the back of the net. These guys aren't shooting the puck. We had 39 shots on goal tonight, and Fox had 5. Kapo had 5. And then let's look at the big guns. Zibanejad had 4. Our man Strome only had 2. Kreider had 1. How are these guys supposed to score goals if they're not getting shooting opportunities? And then the third period, which you would think needs to be the strongest period to end the game, seems all season long to be their worst period. So there's a lot of little things going on, and when you crunch them all together, it's why the team is playing so bad right now. I mean, aside from the Islander game when they won, I think it was 4-0 or 5-0 in game 2, and that Washington Capitol game, these guys are never putting the puck in the net. They're never getting on the scoreboard. They're either blowing leads in the third period or always playing from behind. It's a real shitty way to go through a season. So it's not just one player, which the issue with that is they're not hearing the coach. And we've seen this before. I mean, plenty of coaches and plenty of times that this has gone on. And I don't think it has anything to do with developing players. They're not developing. I mean, Quinn can't teach Zibanejad how to put the puck in the net. He can only put him out there on the ice with the guys that has the best chemistry and best opportunity. Not having Hedo is huge because I would love to see Hedo centering Lafreniere and Kako. I think that would be an incredible line. Hopefully down the road, before we're eliminated, we'll get to see that. But they have to buy the structure that the coaching staff's putting out. They're not coming back as a 5-man unit. The center's not coming back all the way down to help out the defensemen. They seem lost, like we were saying about Zibanejad. They seem lost when sometimes Strome just isn't keeping up. It is a lot going on wrong all at the same time. And the coach can say, yeah, the players are frustrated, and the goaltending isn't doing this. But at the end of the day, he's the one running the ship. Aside from today, when's the last time either goaltender made that big save to keep you in a game, And I thought Shesterkin did that early in the first. I forgot who it was when he made that great leg save. And I said to myself, I even said to my wife watching the game, finally, a goalie made a big save in a game. Maybe they could build off that. And they really didn't. So it's a whole bunch of things going on at the same time. But at the end of the day, it's a one-goal game. Oh, we played great against the best team in the league, but still lost. At the end of the day, we lost. And I think after 14 games in a 56-game season, moral victories are just bullcrap. They're just put on the side. They have to start finding ways to win 2, 3, 4 games in a row. A tie here, an overtime loss there, they're just wasting points. And you're just going to keep playing the same teams. The problem with the Rangers is we were saying, well, maybe the Devils want to be strong and maybe Buffalo want to be strong. It's the Rangers that aren't strong. And that's scary when you look at the schedule. Philadelphia, Washington, another two against Boston in the month of February. These guys are hurting, and something has to get straightened out fast. And I don't know if it's player development. What do you do if you have 3 starting defensemen out of the lineup against Philadelphia? It's going to be a problem.
It sure is. You know, the Devils play 4 less games and have 1 more point than the Rangers. There's only 3 teams in the East, Buffalo, Detroit, that have worse, you know, less points than the Rangers. The Rangers are looking up, man. And I think Buffalo has less games than the Rangers, and they're only a point behind. But nonetheless, man, they're at the bottom of the heap. Chandler, let's go back to you, man. I mean, you had a lot of great points as far as veteran, the musical chairs with the goalies. You had a lot of points on Quinn. Anything else you'd like to add as far as what you heard, or anything else you'd like to add as far as not just this game, but just season?
Yeah, I mean, I expected Shesterkin to struggle because last season no one really knew what the flaws in his game were. So I expected him to get exposed a little bit and then he would struggle a little bit. But I also thought they'd have a veteran goalie to kind of help him through it. But, you know, with the pandemic and everything, then you add in the pandemic and all the other nonsense. Okay. But, you know, the point about Kreider was great because Kreider should be John LeClair, you know, and he's Hugh Jessamyn. You know what I'm saying? It's amazing how he can disappear on the damn ice. As big as he is, you know, you're supposed to be a straight line guy and we don't see you. And I keep going back to the same thing. Where is the Joe Thornton, the Patrick Marleau, the Bobby Ryan? Where's that guy on this team? Because the guy who can say that is the manager, it's okay, bud. I've been there. You know, I know the team is counting on you. I know Panarin's out. I know that you snake bit right now. Breathe. Relax. You know what I'm saying? I went through this and bibbidi-bobbidi-boo, you know, back in 1900, I went 20 games without scoring, and, you know, I still did this, and I still did this, and I managed to impact the game. Where's that guy to carry the gospel of Quinn and ensure that the culture stays of we still have to fight no matter who's down, no matter who's out, no matter how many defensemen we don't have, we still have to play a certain way? Where's that at? It's not there. I see development from young guys. Listen, the young guys have improved. We can all agree that the young guys are showing us a lot, and there's a lot, you know, really bright future. And I'm not saying fire Quinn tomorrow, and I understand what someone said about this being kind of a developmental year, but you can't learn to win without winning. You know, it's kind of a double-edged sword. Yeah, we want to develop, but we want to win. Well, the only way to learn how to win is to win. Until David Quinn figures out his lines and figures out how to get his – actual established veterans to raise their level of play, to relax in Zibanejad's case, to play harder in Kreider. Well, nobody's been able to get Kreider to play harder, so I'm not even going to put that on him because, like I said, you know, we all understand what the deal is with Kreider, but I need him to get production out of the established veterans. That's where the disconnect is for me because I don't see them buying fully in or listening or hearing. I don't know what it is. But there's a huge disconnect between him and the established guys because he can't get them to raise their level of play. And until that happens, we're going to see games where they're going to look like world beaters, and then in the game that they should win, they're going to look like this.
All right, man. Shout-outs to Chandler, man. C. Knight on Twitter. Shout-outs to Chandler. Let's go to Glenn. Glenn, any additional thoughts? You heard all the points. I mean, you made a lot of great points, too, and then we get to Craig and then we get to Scott.
Well, I mean, I got so many thoughts going in my head right now, so many subjects that need to be addressed.
Sure.
You know, when I look at this game tonight, I know that we had Panarin out, we had Keandre Miller out, we've got some injuries. But we were beaten by a team that honestly had 6 or 7 guys on the ice that I never heard of. And I mean, that's just shocking to me. You know, Chandler mentioned who's that guy that's supposed to pull Zibanejad aside and say, hey, look, I've been there, I know. That should be Kreider. I mean, that's the guy who should be doing that. And, you know, I'm disappointed in him. I really am. I mean, I wonder if things would have been different. We didn't know that we were going to get the first pick of the draft and draft Lafreniere, a left wing. I mean, if we knew that, I don't know that Kreider would even still be here. I remember when he came up, you know, Chandler used I forget who he mentioned, who he looked like. I was using Cam Neely. I was like, Cam Neely. And for years you kept waiting for that to happen, and it's obvious now at this point that he is what he is. And to be honest with you, I want to see Lafreniere. I want to see Kako getting more responsibility, more ice time. If Kreider is going to be, you know, the score is 20 goals, he's got 4 in 15 games or 14 games, whatever it is. You know, he's going to be the guy that, you know, bangs a little bit and scores his 20 goals and goes up and down the ice. He's going to put him on the third line. I mean, I know the politics involved, and I know, you know, you don't want to crush his psyche or whatever. And it doesn't have to be permanent. But, you know, I mean, I would try playing the kids a little bit more with guys like Panarin when they come up, with Zibanejad. I mean, maybe Lafreniere can wake Zibanejad up. You know, and just try some things for longer than a period. And see if he can get things, you know, momentum going in the right direction. Again, like we said, you know, playoff talk for this year was maybe we could sneak into the fourth spot if things develop right. But I don't know that that should ever really have been a goal. I think we all pretty much agree this is a development year. And a lot of the kids are getting better. I mean, Fox, as good as he was last year, is getting better. Keandre Miller is a godsend. I don't know where he came from. Kako, Lafreniere are getting more involved, more noticeable. I think, like RP said, and we had talked a few weeks ago, that Hedl going out really kind of caused the domino effect that we're still not figured out yet. And you know, I want to mention that. I don't know when Hedl is coming back. I don't know that he's that close yet. But something very interesting to me when he comes back is what happens with Howden. Because right now, I think Rooney is outplaying Howden. And I'm wondering if Hedl comes back to center that third line, if Rooney sits or if Howden sits. That'll be something we'll talk about in a couple of weeks. But I got to thinking about that today where – I wonder what happens when Hedl comes back and how this team, how the lines are constructed. So, you know, I guess we'll just kind of see what happens. But, I mean, I think the playoffs are – I mean, I know they're going to keep trying to win and they're going to keep saying, oh, we want to make the playoffs. But realistically, that's not happening. So let's do what we can to accelerate the development of the kids. And like someone said, I forget who said it, this is training camp for next season, and next year we're on the clock. And I think that's what the focus should be from now until the end of the season.
Yeah, does anybody know when the timetable of Filippito has been? About what, 2 to 3 weeks, right, since he's been injured?
He's in the fourth week now. Said it was a 4 to 6 week injury, but he won't.
Right.
They don't think he's dirty. Okay. He won't even hit the ice next week, so it's going to be another couple of weeks until they get him back, and then you can't really send him down to the minors to get back in shape, so he's going to have to kind of do it on the fly. So I would think you have to add a couple of games into that scenario. So you're looking probably another 3 or 4 weeks before you're going to have him back where he should be.
Hey, Glenn, anything else you'd like to add before we go to Craig?
You know, the only thing I would like to mention is defensively, for the most part, and the penalty kill, who that had gone what, 22 for 22 before they gave up that power play or a goal tonight to the Devils. I think you got to give a shout out to Jacques Martin. I think he's done a really good job with tightening up the defense. Some of the research I did was the league average for shots on goal is 32. Rangers are giving up 28. And we remember last year, this team was routinely giving up 35, 40 shots a game. So between that and the penalty kill, which has been the shining star of this team this season, I just wanted to give a shout out to Jacques Martin because I think he's doing a really good job.
All right, cool. Craig, what about you, man? Anything else you'd like to add as far as this game, this season up until this point, and how things turned around, has kind of went down to the wayside so fast, and then we'll get to Scott and get some final thoughts from everybody.
Yeah, you know, I think it definitely boils down to leadership and consistency. And, you know, when we beat the Pens a couple weeks ago, I thought that was going to be kind of our turnaround point. To me, was a big win. And then we just kind of fizzled back out from there. You know, I know there have been some injuries, but when it comes to consistent lines and just consistency on the ice, you know, when it comes to the goalies, that all comes back to the coach. And whether you like it or not, he's got to do what he's got to do. And hopefully we're right that this is going to be developmental. But usually when you have some younger guys come up, for the most part, they've got some type of leadership in front of them that help them out. You know, when Sid the Kid came to Pittsburgh, you know, Mario was there kind of as his mentor, and hopefully these kids can find somebody like that or just develop and take over next year. You know, I've been impressed with our penalty kills. I was hoping to see some of our plays tonight, but we didn't have any penalties. So I don't know if that's just from rest missing stuff or from New Jersey just somehow coming out prepared after being off for 2.5 weeks. But, you know, I was worried about our power play for a while. I know we haven't scored for a while on a power play, but I was watching the Flames and the Vancouver Canucks the other night. And I tell you what, you want to talk about a horrible power play, just watch the Flames sometime, and it'll make you feel a lot better about our power plays. And at least we got the smooth passing. So hopefully the shots will start coming, and we'll go from there. But other than that, I agree with everybody, with you know, especially with Glenn, about just developmenting these guys, our defense with shots, especially in penalty kills. And I think we just need to stick with Igor. I think, again, he just had such a crazy first period that you can't expect a goalie to do that the whole game, really. So I don't care if it was Hank or Patrick Waugh himself acting the goalie tonight. You just can't allow a goalie to have to go through that and expect him to do that for the whole game. But consistency is a big key, and just the leadership on the team.
All right, Rangers Saints, at Rangers Saints on Twitter. Shout-outs to Craig. Scott, anything else you'd like to follow up, man? You had a lot of great points as far as this is kind of like de facto preseason heading into next season. And, of course, you made good points on Kako and his passing, and Kreider being the biggest disappointment. Anything else you'd like to add going forward from this episode?
Yeah, as not to keep hammering Kreider, but, well, I shouldn't have said that because that's exactly what I'm going to do. But somebody mentioned, you know, giving him some third-line time, dropping him up top six, and I couldn't agree more. And I wish that David Quinn had the balls to do that. When I saw the opening night roster with Kreider on the first line, I said, why is he automatically on the first line? Like he should have to prove that he wants to be there. And, you know, David Quinn obviously would not have the balls to do that. Tortorella would have given some Kreider some third line time by now, maybe fourth line time. And, you know, I as not to – I'm going to bring up Brendan Lemieux because Steve knows he's my favorite player on the team, but as not to say Brendan Lemieux deserves first-line time. That's not what I mean. But, like, if Kreider were to lose a shift to, say, Brendan Lemieux, maybe, you know, would that finally be his wake-up call? Or would he just not give a crap like he just has been his entire career? But I think, you know, you drop him off the top six for a couple shifts, maybe, you know, let him third period and whatnot, let him think about it. Maybe it's a wake-up call. And my last point is people seem to be so split and divided on this whole captain issue, and I don't understand why we don't have a captain. I mean, you know, this whole thing started, you know, in 2014 when we traded Callahan at the deadline. So, all right, fine. I completely understand not naming a captain for the rest of the year. And then, you know, then we named McDonough. But, you know, why, like, I think we're the only team in the league that is doing it. Like, and, you know, half the people are like, why is naming a captain so important? Well, I think we're seeing exactly why not naming a captain is important. You know, four A's does not equal a C. And, you know, like several people have said tonight, like, they don't have that guy. I realize that Mark Messier is a once-in-a-lifetime captain in, you know, in all of sports, but they don't, you know, the guy with the C is going to be the guy barking up and down the bench like we used to see Messier do. If Messier, you know, if you weren't playing well, you didn't have to hear it from Mike Keenan. You would hear it from Messier. Like, you know, you guys know the story of when Ty Domi scored that goal and did that broomstick ride. And, you know, Ty Domi, obviously, I'm sure could pummel Messier in a fight if it came down to it. But supposedly after the game, Messier got right up in his face and said, "Don't ever do that again, ever." And Ty Domi was like, "Yes, sir." You know, that's so the story goes anyway. But, you know, with nobody having a C, like, we don't have that. We don't have anybody to light a fire under these guys. The coach can only do so much, but it has to come from a player. We have no leadership, you know, and four A's does not equal a C. And I think, you know, why they didn't name Zibanejad captain, you know, before the year, I just don't understand. Like, I don't think there's anybody else even remotely qualified for it. You know, I think we're all in agreement here that, you know, Kreider is the last person on the team that should wear a C. I just think, you know, I don't understand why we don't have a captain. I don't understand why that's such a problem on this franchise to have a captain ever, you know, for the last couple of years. I mean, Zibanejad's obviously not going anywhere for a while, so why is he not wearing the C? I just don't get it. That's it.
Steve, let me just jump in there. I'm thinking there's got to be some reason why they wouldn't do that. You know, we've had some good – Callahan was a terrific captain. Mess, obviously, once in a lifetime. Brian Leach, as much as I love him, I don't know how much of a captain he was, and I don't know how much that might have affected his play. Same with McDonough. I always thought McDonough was a little, you know, maybe he was good in the locker room, but I always thought he was a little low-key to be the captain. And Zibanejad is very low-key. And we can talk about this next week, maybe. I don't want to take up a lot of time, but, I mean, there's got to be some reason why they either didn't want to give the burden or don't think they have the right guy on the team right now to be the captain. So maybe that's something we can tee off with next week, Steve.
Yeah, we could definitely do that because next Tuesday there is no game. So we'll be here at 9:00 and we could address all these carryover questions into next Tuesday, 9 p.m. in between games from Philly and Washington. Let's get some final thoughts, man. Chandler, you know, you can follow Chandler on Twitter at C Knight. Give me the Twitter handle again. Actually, I have it. Wait a minute. C Knight, it's right here on my Twitter feed. C Knight 6827. Chandler, your final thoughts. We'll definitely carry on the dialogue on social media as well. Your final thoughts, bro. And then we'll go right down the line to Glenn, Craig, Scott, and then, of course, Ranger Proud, RP.
Yeah, I'm living deja vu, man. We went from shoot the puck, Barry, to where the hell is Kreider? I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's deja vu all over again.
Great follow. Give him a follow on Twitter at CKnight6827 on the hockey and everything sports. Thank you very much, Chandler. Your final thoughts, and let's get to Glenn NYR on Twitter. Your final thoughts, and then get to Craig, and then Scott, and then we'll wrap up.
Yeah, I mean, I just think the inconsistency with this team is maddening. But again, there's a lot of young kids on the team, and that's, you know, what happens a lot of times. But you expect the leadership on this team to, you know, to help get these guys pumped up and help them in any way they can. And I thought this team had enough leadership when we went into the season, but I'm questioning that now. So, you know, we'll have to see, you know, what they can do and what the coach can do. Because the coach, again, is responsible for getting these guys to play. And it just seems, I don't know if it was Chandler or someone said, it seems like Quinn is just kind of throwing things against the wall now and seeing what sticks. I'd really like to see some thought into the lines and just stick with it for two or three games and don't, you know, just get frantic when it doesn't work for a period. I'd really like to see guys together for two or three games and have some real thought into the construction of the lines and see where we go from there.
Shout outs to Glenn, man. Glenn NYR on Twitter as well. Craig, Rangers Saints, your final thoughts, bro. And then, of course, Scott, and then the RP.
Well, it definitely comes back down to consistency for sure. Also, as far as the speed goes, I know we can talk about it more real quick, but, you know, you talk about you want a leader, you want somebody that's going to be getting up in guys' faces when they do things stupid, but do we really have that guy on our team right now? I don't know, but, you know, the last shout-out I got is this one's for my son because he's been through a lot in his life. I know a lot of people going through a lot of crap today with COVID and everything else going on, so I just want to remember that suicide prevention line, 1-800-273-8255. I just want that out there so everybody has it because we're living in some crazy times right now. Other than that, let's go Rangers and let's bounce back for next game.
Thank you for the information, Craig, and thank you for the shout-out, and thank you for the your input and on your opinions, man, on this squad, man, LGR, man. Scott, bro, final thoughts, man. I mean, it's a lot to talk about. I mean, it's just – so we just don't even have an hour to discuss this, but we could carry this over to Tuesday
with
your final question.
Well, I'm not going to make it a hat trick of Kreider bashing. I'm done with that. So I will point out that on a lighter note, I was just looking up the team stats, and since I brought him up, my boy Lemieux has more points than Zibanejad this year. That's not necessarily a good thing, but it's kind of comical.
Wow.
He really does. He's got 4 points, and Zibanejad has 3. It's actually kind of sad, but, you know, Steve, you know I love Brendan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely, man. Shout out to Scott, man. Thank you very much, dude. RP, articles coming down the pike. Let us know anything. I mean, you should have a lot to write between now and next Tuesday, for sure. Forever Blue Shirt.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Bang, man. I'm not going to write until tomorrow because otherwise it's going to be just a Ranger bashing and I can just do that funny with people on Twitter like I've been doing during this episode. So, wow. The Ranger Twitter is just a total friggin' meltdown right now. It's fire everybody. It's crazy. I got one good stat to Steve. Steve, you're going to love this one.
Yes.
Winnipeg Jets Neil Pionk. 86 games played since the trade with Trouba. 7 goals, 50 assists, 57 points. He has a goal and 11 assists this year. He's making $3 million. Jacob Trouba has played 83 games since our trade. 7 goals, 22 assists, 29 points. This year in 13 games, no goals, 2 assists. He's making $8 million. Steve O'Long, you said there was something up with that deal. And I think you're right.
I think
Trouba had a different team, and his style of play is totally different coming over to here. Don't get me wrong, I think he's made Kendre Miller a better hockey player, which is fabulous. But within its own, we're missing Pionk. I don't see the offense drive at all that Trouba had when he was in Winnipeg. That was one of the nicer things that I've read on Twitter since the show started, guys. It's pretty damn fun, but these people are going crazy with fire everybody and yelling at me for commenting, which is always fun.
Unbelievable. Shout out to RP. Somebody said it. We're going to wrap up. Shout out to the guys on this episode. Somebody said, I think it was you, Glenn, that Kendre Miller came out of nowhere. Well, we actually called that one. We said a couple of years ago, right before that draft, that the Rangers were going to draft him, and they did. We did our homework on that one. We'll take credit for that. We own that. We love Kendre. Oh, yeah.
Well, I didn't mean so much he came out of nowhere as this good this fast. I mean, yeah, we all heard about it. I was worried about him getting major minutes with Trouba on the first pairing, but wow, I mean, he slid right in there, and it's been as smooth as could be. So that's what I was talking about, just that he's been so good so fast.
Gotcha. All right. Fair enough. That makes sense. Shout-outs to Glenn on that. We're going to be back next Tuesday, 9 p.m., no game. We'll talk to you know, got games. And I think there's a post. It might be a postponed game this week with Washington. I'm not 100% sure. Maybe you guys can let me know. Philadelphia. We haven't played them yet.
I heard Sunday. Game Sunday.
Okay, gotcha.
Postponed. Yeah.
There it is. That would be the – yeah, the last team in the division we have not played this season is our old guy Le'Veon. So, man, we got to rebound fast. And we have, I mean, I think you got, matter of fact, let's do a soft poll real quick and we'll just wrap it up. I think I know where you guys stand, but I want to make it official at February the 16th. Chandler, is the season over? Yes or no?
If we're talking playoffs, yes. If we're talking development, no.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in playoffs. I'm sorry. Playoff spot.
Oh, yeah, we're not getting the playoff spot.
All right, cool. Glenn, no playoffs? Yes, playoffs?
No playoffs. I mean, there's five teams now because the Islanders are starting to pick it up now, too. So we're not catching any of those five teams.
All right, Craig, what about you?
No playoffs. So we're 1 point out of last place. We got the Sabres behind us, and that's it. So it's not going to happen this year. But, again, development, hopefully that keeps going.
Uh-huh. All right. And Scott?
Yeah, I got to agree, no playoffs. I'm concerned. My biggest concern, like we all said, you know, we're all pretty much in agreement, it's the development year. The last 10 games or so, I'd like to see them go 7-3, 6-3-1, whatever. I'd like to see, and it wouldn't even bother me if they go on a nice little tear at the end and finish like 2 points out of a playoff spot, because I just want them to end strong so we can be confident going into next year. But the short answer, no, I don't think this is a playoff team.
Yeah, this is bad, man. I don't see it. I mean, unless we go on a huge tear, and that's just to get back and just make up ground for what we lost. But shout-outs to the guys, man. We'll be back next week. Shout-outs to Ranger Proud. Ranger Proud, of course, on Forever Blue Shirts and Empire Sports Media. Ranger Proud's Twitter page and Facebook page. And shout-outs to Scott. Give him a follow on Facebook. And Glenn, Chandler, and Craig. Next Tuesday, 9 p.m., we'll continue the hockey talk here on the Bleed Blue Show, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. And, of course, you can always stream all the episodes from your web browser on bleedblueshow.com, the podcast tab. Gentlemen, great talking hockey. We'll see you next Tuesday if you're coming on, and we'll see you on social media so we can see Ranger fans have a fit. Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue, bleep blue.